Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you feeling?
Feeling great.
Rajan Walia, the banger in the paint. How you doing today, man?
It's All-Star Weekend, so it's a great time to be alive.
How do you feel about All-Star Weekend? Do you like that there's like a sudden break? Because now we go almost like a full week without real ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like obviously missing some games in the regular season kind of sucks, but at the end of the day, there's only like 2 or 3 days without any ball at all, like Monday to Wednesday next week, but it's just entertaining, and it gives you a nice little break before you gear up for the late season and playoff push.
You're going to be one of like the 5 people who watch a celebrity game, aren't you?
Why not?
Oh, God. Josh, do you watch the celebrity game?
I do not. I mean, I'm a fiend, but I'm not that big of a fiend.
Okay, fine.
Oh my God.
Rising stars. Rising stars at the beginning.
Yeah, maybe. Possibly. I liked it when Jamal Murray won the MVP a couple of years ago, but that was sick. But aside from that, I haven't watched the Rising Stars in a long time, man. Cannot tell you the last time. So it's been about a week since we've had the trade deadline. Obviously, the East continues their like crazy arms race. And I just want to touch base with the teams who made the major moves first. Obviously, you had Philadelphia acquiring Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott, and the Raptors obviously getting Marc Gasol, and then claiming Jeremy Lin off of waivers, which we haven't really talked about yet. Josh, who do you think has done better in the last week so far?
I think you have to say the Raptors, because I think they're now 3-0 since the trade deadline, even though they've played some, you know, not so great competition. But I think the biggest thing with them, the biggest change, is how they're running their offense. Just looking at the stats, they were, I think, middle of the pack in terms of passes per game at 290. And then they had 24.7 assists per game. And then since Gasol has joined them, they've passed the ball 40 more times a game at 330 passes, and they're averaging 30 assists per game, which is third in the NBA in that span. So their offense is much funner to watch, and it works out stats-wise, too. And I think that, you know, once Kawhi and Gasol get their chemistry together, I think Gasol's going to be starting after the All-Star break, to be honest. And I think that once they get their chemistry together, this team's going to go to a whole new level.
Raj, how do you feel about having Jeremy Lin on the team now?
I think it's a good addition, especially with Van Vliet being out for 5 weeks now. And I think he offers an upgrade over DeLon Wright, which was kind of, he's going to be filling in that role. I also think that since he has more veteran presence, they're going to be able to use him more down the, like later in the game. And I trust his 3-point shot more than I would DeLon Wright and this year CJ Miles.
Oh, shots.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin is basically the good version of DeLon Wright, what DeLon Wright should sort of aim to be, because Jeremy Lin's put up his best advanced stats so far this season and being just super efficient on the floor. And he's a guy that can get to the basket, and he's actually decent defensively. Like, he tries really hard, he knows where to be, and I think he's going to fit in great with this team.
And the key is knowing where to be, right? Like, he actually makes his rotations quickly, and he stays in front of guys most of the time.
Yeah, and he's also good off the ball. Like, he's also obviously a primary ball handler, but you can also play him in a situation where he's off the ball, and he's just another weapon, more depth, in case in later in the games, in the playoffs, they get into foul trouble. That he's like a player that you can trust, and I think that's the key thing with the Raptors, is they really need consistent players that they can rely on game in and game out. instead of the players like DeLon Wright, who would have a few great games and then a few games where he would just disappear.
Do you remember how much Jeremy Lin's contract with the Rockets was? Like some odd years ago, right after the insanity?
I'm going to guess he made like $12 million a year.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around there. It was like between 8 to 12 or 8 to 10. But after all that, he's had two season-ending injuries, obviously, as well. And it's nice to just see him back on the court for like a real contender. He obviously had that little stint with Charlotte a couple of years ago where he was Kemba's backup and actually played like almost solid starter minutes for a long time. And now having him on the Raptors, it's like, it's the perfect piece. And every time I watched the highlights, it was either the crowd just chanting for Jeremy Lin or the crowd chanting for Marc Gasol to come on. You know what I mean? Like standing ovations for guys who have never played for your team before. It's just a strange concept to me.
Yeah, and obviously us being in, well, not us, but we being Raptors fans and living in Canada, like I think Lin offers a huge opportunity for the Raptors to market them and expand their fan base even more.
Got that Chinese connection now, man. Yo, Josh, you're going to get a Jeremy Lin jersey? Number 17?
It's funny because with him only playing probably 25 games for the Raptors this season at the end of the year, he's probably going to have the highest jersey sales out of anybody in the NBA. Anybody and everybody's going to buy that jersey in the next 2 months.
It's hype, man. Are you going to buy it, though? That's the question.
If we win the championship, absolutely.
You're going to get that and a Kawhi jersey?
Woo! Maybe I'll just do what other people are doing and with their Valanciunas jerseys and just taking off the rest of the letters. Just
you're going to scrape it off?
Absolutely. Save some money.
L space 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 I space 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 N.
Or I'll just tape over and move the letters over.
Smart man. Just turn it into like a giant Lin all across the back.
Absolutely.
Size like 36 font on the back.
Same number and everything.
So what happens now that we're predicting that Marc Gasol is going to start, right? So who's going to come off the bench? Serge? You can't bench Spicy P after that.
No, that's not even a question. Like, people that think that Marc Gasol can play with Ibaka, it's not 2000 anymore, you know? We can't play two big guys together. This is not grit and grind. And plus, Siakam's been amazing this year. And he fits with either guy. And I think that in the last game especially, him and Gasol had some really good chemistry with Gasol finding him on cuts. And OG and Norm have also been really good at cutting off Gasol and, you know, getting those return passes for easy layups. So I think once Gasol starts and plays, you know, the minutes that Serge is playing right now, hopefully, I think that our offense is going to look even better. And defensively and on the boards, we're going to improve in that area as well, because Serge has been good statistically this year, but ultimately against the really good teams, his defense hasn't really been up to par, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, it's nice also, like you mentioned, to see the Raptors being able to have another dimension to their offense. Like, they can play inside out now, whereas in that option was never available with like JV and when they had DeMar DeRozan and like Lowry, all the offense was initiated like beyond the perimeter. And now they have like a completely new set of options with Gasol and his passing. I know, Peter, you asked the question about the 76ers or the Raptors, who's been more impressive. I still think the jury's out because I think the 76ers, I think they've had four games and they're 3-1, the one loss being to the Celtics without Kyrie. But I think they've been impressive and they're still figuring out their roles. I think there's more of an adjustment there when you add Tobias Harris because you kind of have to squeeze him into the lineup and manage kind of all four superstars. But I think when all is said and done, I think the 76ers probably did better than the Raptors, but it's too early to tell.
Oh my God. Wow, I was not expecting that. What do you mean did better?
I think they improved their chances to go to the finals more than the Raptors did. I'm not saying that they have better chances, but they improved their chances.
Okay, so what you mean is they went from, like, say, 25% or something to, like, 40%.
Sure.
So that range of upgrade is greater than what the Raptors' range of upgrade was.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that's going to hurt the Raptors is like they're not going to have as many games under their belt in terms of team chemistry. Like I don't even think Kawhi and Lowry have played 20 games together this season. And then you add in Gasol, you add in Lin. And at the end of the day, like the difference between Milwaukee, the number one seed, and I think Philly, which is the 5 seed, may end up being the 4 seed, is so negligible that the thing that's going to matter most in the playoffs is chemistry, turnovers, and making your shots. And the Raps kind of, I would have a bit of like caution because they're not going to be playing together for more than like 20 games and compared to other teams.
Yo, you know that Philly just acquired like their last starter, right?
No, I'm not saying Philly has more games, but like at this pace, Kawhi is going to sit out another 5 to 10 games.
I don't think that's true. I think with the All-Star break, he's going to, you know, get healthy. And I think that they only have maybe one back-to-back in the rest of the season. And their schedule is like super easy too. So I think they're going to be able to experiment a lot of things, a lot of lineups against these bad teams. And they may end up being the number one seed overall with their schedule being much easier than Milwaukee's. But and looking at the standings right now, I hope they stay as is where we get, you know, Indiana and 3 seed. And they play Brooklyn, and then we just have to play them in the second round instead of having to play one of the top 4 teams. That would be ideal.
Yeah, that's assuming that Boston and Philly stay 4 or 5, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Which and it depends.
Might actually happen.
Indiana can keep up their pace right now because they won, yeah, I think, 6 games in a row up until facing off against Milwaukee before the break. But it depends on, obviously their schedule is a little bit easier going forward. And as you said, Philadelphia has some things to work through. But I think Philadelphia, ultimately, they look really great on paper in terms of their starting five and everything. But I just don't see it with them come playoff time, which, you know, we talked about last podcast, obviously. But I still think Boston's the team to beat in the East right now. And I think Toronto's a very close second.
Yeah, I might actually give it to Toronto, to be honest, because the one thing that Toronto has over teams like Philly or Milwaukee is that they've actually been there before and they've lost before. You know, there's always that old idea that to be a contender, you need to lose first before you make it there, right? Like, you always have to overcome another team or another obstacle that's in front of you. Like, Jordan had, had the Pistons in the early 90s. Obviously, Kobe and Shaq had to get over themselves and then somehow get over, like, the Trailblazers and the Kings and the Spurs. You know what I mean? So, like, Toronto is in line to make it there because they do have, like, the most veteran experience out of all these teams.
Yeah,
right?
But their
Milwaukee is...
But their team's way different, really, though. Yeah. Like, compare this team to the team that lost to LeBron and the Cavs, like, 2 years ago.
Yeah, but then compare it to last year.
It's still
half
quite different.
You're still here from last year.
Yeah, but half.
But you still have a lot of the major players. You still have Lowry. You still have Siakam. Obviously, Van Vliet, Serge.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Think...
It's not like it's a completely new team.
I just think having another guy that you can rely on in the playoffs that has consistently performed in Gasol, you're not really worried as much about the team overall if Lowry struggles, right? Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing for Toronto is that like you have this guy that you know, even if he doesn't produce like big offensive numbers, you know Gasol is going to make all the right plays, be in the right spots on defense, and do the right things. Whereas, you know, in the alternative, if he didn't make a trade for him, you'd have JV backing up Serge. And if Serge goes back to, you know, how he played last year, come playoff time, you have nobody else you can rely on. And then Lowry has to be putting up like 20-plus points per game. And then you're in a situation where, you know, you probably can't rely on that happening, obviously, with Lowry's struggles in the playoffs besides last year. So,
no, Kyle Lowry is like a milk carton kid in the playoffs, man.
He was good last year, though.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, man. Jason Tatum was good last playoffs, too, and then look at him this year so far.
Hot take.
People get hot.
Yeah, hot take. I think Siakam is a better player than Tatum.
Whoa. Why? I think that's just because of the system, man.
I don't know.
I think he's got better team guys around him.
Does he, though?
No, I think Tatum has equal opportunity, and I'm not saying Tatum's a bad player. Tatum's obviously had less experience than Siakam, but I do think that Siakam offers like a lot of upside, and I think he has all the necessary tools to become like a very, very good player in this league.
Yeah, I think he can be a really good player. I don't know if he's going to be... I don't know. Tatum, there's something with this Boston team, man. Like, if they had a different system running through, or maybe, I don't know, what do you think could actually help this Boston team? A different point guard? Because Kyrie clearly doesn't mesh well with these guys, even though you know, like they've won 12 out of their last 15. So they're on a pretty good streak. But at the same time, the chemistry issues just continue to linger with this team.
See, I think Boston has the same type of problem. Well, they had the same type of problem as what Philly has now, in that early in the season, they were starting their best five, or what you thought there was going to be their best five, with, you know, Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Hayward, obviously. And that didn't work because you need guys that don't really need the ball in your starting five, which is another reason why I think Toronto's, you know, ultimately going to be better than these teams, because they have guys that just work around their superstar players. So ultimately, I think Boston just needs less talent. You know, they need more guys that are like the hardworking types that'll, you know, get on the floor and, you know, make open shots and not need the ball and run pick and rolls and stuff. And Philadelphia is going to run into that problem, I think, eventually, which you've talked about again. But, you know, I think that ultimately you need role definition, especially in your starting five. And if guys don't really know what their usage is going to be or what their minutes are going to be in certain situations, then it does hurt the team overall, especially like chemistry was.
But do you think they figured it out now? Now that they're starting Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris Sr. instead of Jaylen Brown and who was the other one? Hayward?
Yeah, it looks that way. And Hayward has played well the last couple of games, which he's had stretches throughout the course of the season where he's looked good, but he hasn't really, you know, played well consistently. But ultimately, I think Boston's in a good spot right now. I think everyone just overreacted to how they played, you know, during that Clippers game where Kyrie got injured and they lost a 28-point lead. But ultimately, it doesn't matter come playoff time because they still have the experience. The guys have been there before now. And obviously, their coaching is really, really, really top level, you know, stuff with Brad Stevens. And they have probably the best defense in the NBA, even though the stats say Milwaukee's the best defense right now. I think ultimately in the playoffs, when you have, you know, Brad Stevens preparing for a team for seven games and you have days in between where they can look at film, I think that ultimately they have the advantage over most teams.
What? No, you're abandoning your stats?
Yeah, I think I would take OKC's defense as well.
Yeah.
That's because they have MVP G.
Yeah.
So what do we think the end of the season is going to look like for Eastern Conference standings? Like 1-5, obviously, because, you know, who cares beyond 5? You think Boston takes over, like, 3rd? Maybe 2nd? Probably 3rd.
I don't know. I think Philadelphia might actually be a better regular season team than Boston at this point, but it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, if it stays as is, if Indiana is actually able to hold on to the 3 seed. Seeing Boston play Philadelphia in the first round is going to be amazing because Boston's going to beat their asses. And then Philadelphia is going to have to really look at their situation and probably, I think Jimmy Butler's going to leave at that point. So that'll be interesting to see. But I know that, you know, Philadelphia is really hoping they don't face Boston in any round because I think they match up better with Milwaukee. I don't think they match up well at all with Toronto either. I think that they're just a regular season darling, and they're going to flame out. Out of all these teams, I think they have the highest chance of flaming out.
Yeah. Yo, shouts to Jimmy Butler for turning into the glue guy somehow. If you've watched any of the games, well, obviously the last 4 games specifically, he's essentially turned into a fourth quarter shooter who only goes to the line. And it's I am impressed with the way he's taken this on so far. Over the last 4 games, obviously.
I know I dismissed the idea of Jimmy Butler imploding as Joss suggested when the trade happened. And I'm going to go back on my words here and say, like, I do kind of have like a bad feeling in my stomach when I see kind of his stat line showing that he took like 6 shots in a game and scored like 14 points and had like mediocre 4 assists and like 3 rebounds. Just because this guy's looking for a max extension, and at a certain point, he's going to want to get his money. And it's not that he's not capable of putting up good numbers. It's just now he's playing with other players that need the ball as well. And I think there may come a point where he wants to take over the game, and there might be some problems in Philadelphia. I could see that being kind of the major roadblock for them advancing far in the Eastern Conference. That being said, I think the standings, I think the Raptors probably will overtake Milwaukee for the number one seed. And I do think the Pacers are probably going to drop down to the number 5 seed because they do have kind of a difficult upcoming stretch right after the All-Star game. I think they play like Golden State once, OKC twice. They have to play the Trailblazers, the Nuggets twice. So they do have a difficult stretch of games, plus they have other games against like the Celtics and the 76ers. So I could see them losing like 8 out of their next 22 or 23 games left.
Damn, that's a hefty drop. Yo, okay, hold on. Before we leave this Butler thing, because my gears are starting to turn right now. So as Jimmy Butler's reputation goes in the league, you have a guy who's, as Josh has described multiple times, like a locker room cancer, right? Like someone who can't be trusted around the league. GMs don't want that kind of attitude in their locker room, which is fair. Obviously, we've seen him, sort of demolish past teams in Chicago and Minnesota before. So my issue here is that what if this is his like rehab for his reputation right now? He takes a step back to show that he can be a good locker room guy in order to get himself a max extension this summer. He's already proven it on the court that he can get his numbers and that he's like a crazy defensive player and tries really hard and that kind of stuff. But the issue for him now was he can't be trusted in the locker room. So could this just be like his way of rehabbing his image?
But what evidence do you have that he's actually going to take that line and be that guy?
What do you mean?
He's never shown that before.
He's doing it now though.
For three games.
Four games?
Oh,
Hello?
sorry, sorry.
Even no, but
Four
even
games.
before this though, basically since the first like going to the media situation in I think it was like December. Since then, he hasn't really said anything out loud. Right? He obviously complained about how the coaching is, how they're just giving the ball to Embiid and Simmons all the time. And since then, he's gotten some more touches. He's obviously handling the ball a little bit more. And then he sort of just stayed quiet after that. So what if this is part of like the rehab that he's doing?
I think he just works in 3 month intervals. So I think by March 13th, they're going to hear something in the media about him complaining about his role.
I don't know, man, you said over under 1 week and I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, it's the All-Star weekend, so maybe he'll complain during the All-Star weekend instead.
No, he'll just complain about not being there. And then he'll shed some tears like Rudy.
Oh, Jimmy in tears. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Nah, hell no. He's not soft like
He's gonna
Rudy.
make other players cry though, for
He's
sure.
gonna cuss out Simmons because he got the spot instead. Do we want to touch quickly on this Western Conference? The Lakers are 3 games behind the Clippers for they're in 10th spot right now. Jesus. Do we think they'll make the playoffs? I hope they don't.
Even though I hate LeBron, I mean, ultimately I still want to see them in the playoffs, but if I had my choice, I would choose the Lakers and Kings to be the last couple teams in the seeds in the Western Conference over the Spurs and the Clippers, but I think based on the schedule, it's hard to see the Spurs sort of bottoming out and becoming a lottery team.
Do the Spurs and
So
the Jazz have easy schedules going forward?
the Jazz have a super easy schedule. They're first in strength of schedule
Okay.
going forward.
What about the Rockets?
And San Antonio's third, actually, so they have a pretty easy schedule as well. Houston's fourth. So all
Oh
the
my
teams you name actually have
God.
pretty easy schedules. The Clippers are second.
Jesus.
So
So odds are the Clippers are gonna make the eighth.
no, I don't think so. I think the Kings are ultimately going to make that. I think the Clippers are just bottoming out. So I think you're going to see Doc Rivers play some crazy lineups and play Lou Williams less in these games going forward, or Montrezl Harrell's not going to play as much, and Zubac is going to get his minutes. You're going to see some experimentation, I think.
It's going to be a lot of Zubac and Landry Shamet pick and rolls.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of, games where Shamet takes like 30 shots.
What?
Everyone's going to claim that he's the next J.J. Redick or Ray Allen.
They already are next J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
That's something you want to aim to be.
Hey, JJ is great. It's
Yeah,
not a
it's
bad
just like
comparison for a guy who's a second round pick.
that's true. He was a second round pick. Raj, who do you think gets the eighth spot?
Yeah, I think the Kings are gonna squeeze in front of the Lakers. I do think it's gonna be close. Like it's probably gonna come down to like two games or less than that. And I just think that the Lakers are kind of in a spiral a bit. And once they catch like land on the ground and actually start winning some games, they'll be okay. But that might be in a, like with like 14 or 15 games left, and they have to make up 3 or 4 games, and that's gonna be a bit too much. And also, I just think the Kings, with the addition of Harrison Barnes, are like a better team, and they kind of have no pressure because they're not really expected to make the playoffs with this team. And whereas in the Lakers are in the complete opposite situation where they have all this pressure, all this media attention. Like every day there's like 1,000 articles and stories about what happens if LeBron can't carry this team, what's going to happen with Luke Walton. Is he going to get fired today, tomorrow, next week, over Easter? Like there's all Easter. These. Yeah. And I know that's in the playoffs, but there just comes a point where like there's just a lot of pressure on the Lakers, and I don't really think they're a team that's built to handle that right now.
I can't wait till people say LeBron isn't clutch because he couldn't make the playoffs. It's gonna be the best ever.
Yeah, Jordan never missed a playoffs during his prime.
Yeah, LeBron's prime like 15 or 16 years in. That's the funniest part.
You know, LeBron's never really had a good record against the Western Conference either, so him switching conferences now and going to the Lakers and playing the Western teams more often now is, you know, been his kryptonite, even though he's obviously been out for a couple months. But
also with like a garbage roster. Like amongst like the most garbage of rosters, man. Come on. What do you mean you guess? Compared to
the Yeah, but I he's playing the, funniest... in the East. Like the East has been garbage for years. Like honestly, since I've been watching basketball, like in the early 2000s, I've known the East has been garbage. Like complete flaming hot trash. Yo,
show some respect to the 04 Pistons, man.
Yeah, come like on. What the 8th seed was probably like 30-50.
You know, the funniest thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks, which is what I was aiming for before the season started, is seeing Lakers fans comparing LeBron with Kobe now and saying that if Kobe had this roster, they would have made the playoffs easily. They'd still be in like the 5th seed right now.
The 5th seed.
And Kobe wouldn't have got injured. And Kobe would have done this. I mean, it's incredible. No, I love
Kobe
it.
Kobe would have played on one Achilles and still brought them to the playoffs, to the 2nd seed.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Kobe right now at 300 pounds would take him to the playoffs over LeBron.
Yo, actually, did you listen to the most recent Windhorst and the Hoop Collective podcast yet? It released yesterday on Thursday or Friday.
No, not yet.
There's speculation that LeBron's like 280 right now. How crazy is that? In peak form,
he
he's like
it well.
In peak form, he's like 250, 260. But 6'8", 280? Holy. He usually plays himself like consistently more and more into shape as the season goes on, right? But with that injury sitting him out for like a month? Whoa, what a derailment. Jesus Christ. Okay, Josh, let's go to Stats Corner.
All right, so for Stats Corner this week, I got three different things for you. The first thing is pull-up shooting. So shooting off of the dribble in terms of three-point percentage, so pulling up from the three-point line.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think is in the top five overall thus far at this point of the regular season?
Well, points leader James Harden.
In terms of three-point percentage, sorry.
Points leader James Harden.
No,
oh.
He is not in the top five in terms of percentage.
Curry?
Curry is number one at 43% off the dribble shooting threes. Hmm.
I got another easy pick right here. Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker is not in the top five. Oof. James Harden is actually 9th overall, and Kemba is 11th.
What about Dame Lillard?
Damian Lillard is 14th.
Oh my god. Are these random players or are they actually like good players?
They're all good players. I mean, one of them, you know, he's good, but he's very inconsistent.
Okay. Go ahead.
Joe
Former
Harris.
Raptor.
Oh, no, not Joe Harris, but
Joe Harris is not in the top five.
Oh, Peter, you do.
Did you say former Raptor or current Raptor?
Yes, former Raptor.
Man, that's like half the league. Come on.
A former Raptor that's a very good three-point shooter, though.
Bellinelli?
Terrence
and
Ross.
Still a good player. What was that?
Raj said Terrence Ross. I said Marco Bellinelli.
Terrence Ross is correct at number four overall at 40.7%.
Wow.
Oof. They could use this shooting this year.
Wow.
Well, he can't shoot in the playoffs, so he doesn't matter.
Luka?
Luka is not in the top 15, no. So. He's, I think, around 25th.
Huh. Who else?
MV.
Oh, PG?
Yep, he's number two at 41%.
Whew. So what do we need, 3 and 5 now?
Correct. Two of the better teams in the East.
Middleton?
Middleton is number 3 at 40.7. Nice.
Damn, 40. Yeah, that's good. Kyrie?
Kyrie is number 5 at 40.5%.
There you go.
Well done, well done.
Bang, bang.
It's a good list.
Yeah.
Terrence Ross fits just right in.
Jesus.
Next thing we'll go on to is fast break points per game for individual player. So who are the top 5 in fast break points per game in the NBA as of right now?
Pick me.
Go for it.
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is not in the top 5.
What?
He is number 20.
So confident.
3.2 right, points per game.
I'm done. I'm out.
Give me the actual MVP. Giannis.
Yanni is at number 8 at 4.2 points
every game. Wow. How much?
4.2. So the leader averages 5.1 points on the fast break every game.
Give me Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray is not in the top 5. I don't even think he's on this list.
I was really hoping he would get those outlets from Jokic, you know?
Yeah.
Also,
he is not here.
I just wanted to plug Denver at least once an episode.
Everyone on this list is actually in the Western Conference, just to give you an idea.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph was...
Steph is at number 2 at 5 points per game.
Yeah. Western Conference, eh? Russ?
Russ is at number 4 at 4.9 points per game on the fast break.
Who else is explosive in the West? KD?
Yep, KD is number 3 at 5 points per game. So you just need number 1 and number 5. So two really high-paced teams. Or one team that was really high-paced, and they sort of slowed it down a little bit lately. But
Anthony Davis?
No, he is not in the top 5.
Houston? James Harden?
No.
Oh.
They actually don't play at a high pace. They're like middle of the pack, I think.
I figured you said slowing down because Chris Paul's old ass came back and slowed them down.
Get out of here.
Let's see. Raj, you got anything?
It has to be someone.
Which team
has
played at the highest pace the entire year?
Sacramento.
Consistently played at the highest pace and is one of the funnest teams to watch.
Who won the Kang?
Sacramento.
Exactly.
Sacramento, yeah.
Fox?
Oof.
F-O-X.
Nope, he's number 7, though.
What? That's a bull. Who else runs on that team? Healed?
Correct, number 5 at 4.9 points per game.
That is impressive. So we're just missing number 1?
You're missing number 1. And he's considered number 1.
Is it PG?
No.
Oh. Is it LeBron?
It is.
What?
Oh, man.
5.1 points per game on the fast break.
Oh,
this
my
year.
God. That's insane.
Totally changed over his game, and I think that hurt him overall with that injury.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Playing the fastest pace of his career when in, what, his like 15th or 16th year? Probably not the best idea, my man.
Indeed.
Did you just call LeBron your man?
No, my man as in Josh. Or, okay. I don't know, whatever. Stop. Come on.
I'll stop with the LeBron hate. It's All-Star weekend.
Don't associate me with LeBron love, man. That's not cool.
Yeah.
I'm here for the LeBron hate, so go ahead.
True. All right, what's your last one? Real quick.
Last one is points in the paint. So players that average the highest amount of points in the paint overall as of this point in the regular season.
Giannis.
Giannis is at number 1 at 17.7. And just on that note, he has the highest average for a player since Shaq, averaged 19.6 in 2002-2003. And he's averaged 16.2 points per game in the restricted area, which is the highest average in 23 years, which is crazy.
Yeah,
he has
be
206 MVP. Dunks so far.
He better be MVP. Harden?
Harden is not in the top 5, no. He is... not in the top 20, surprisingly.
All right.
Because of all those step-backs, I guess.
True.
Drummond.
And getting to the free throw line.
Yeah. What was that?
How about Drummond?
Drummond.
Yeah, Drummond is number four at 14.2 nice. Points per game in the paint.
Very nice. Who's a banger? Jokic?
Jokic is not in the top 10. He's 14th.
Peter, your man. That's your man.
Yeah, that's my man. There you go.
This guy's considered to be the best big man in the NBA.
Don't you dare say Gasol.
Joel?
Nope.
Joel Embiid is not the best big man in the NBA.
Yeah, that's just wrong. Give it to Joel. Just put him in there.
Joel's number six, though. He's at 12.9.
What the hell is better than Joel Embiid?
Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Oh, right.
15.1 points per game.
I thought we meant of, like, active players, you know?
That yeah, actually want to play on their team.
Sort of active.
That want to play on their current there roster. How about that?
All right, how many more do we need?
You've got two more to go. So one player is currently injured, and the other player is a guard/forward.
East or west?
You got one from the east, one from the west. One's a big man, one's a guard/forward.
Oladipo?
Oladipo is not anywhere on this list, okay. No.
Currently injured? That's a hard one.
A big man that's currently injured.
In the east?
In the west. He's on a playoff team, too.
Oh, Clint Capella.
Correct. 15 points in the paint per game.
Nice. Mm.
Should have got that one, yeah.
And then a guard/forward in the east?
Yes.
Kawhi?
No.
Damn. Who could it be?
Kawhi is number 33.
That's close. Simmons.
Correct. Simmons is number 5 at 13.1.
All right, not bad. Not bad.
You guys did okay this week.
I got some quick All-Star trivia if we have time. Raj, do we have time?
Yeah, we always have time.
Okay. In the past, there have been, let's say, 9 MVP, All-Star MVPs who have repeated. So more than one MVP. Name them off for me. All-Star MVPs.
That have repeated?
Not like back-to-back, but multiple time MVPs.
Okay. Russ?
Or sorry, since 1984. So, yes, Russ.
Jordan?
Jordan, yeah.
Yep. Jordan has 3 in 88, 96, and 98.
Magic?
Magic. 90 and 92. Good pull. Wow, is this you guys are struggling this
hard?
Who
else is a stat whore in the All-Star game?
I know Kobe
game.
Has 1.
LeBron.
Kobe has 4.
Oh.
02, 07, 09, and 11. LeBron has 3, 06, 08, and 18 last year. So you're missing.
KD never won it, eh?
No. You're missing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ooh.
There's no big men on the list, right?
Yes, there are.
Really? Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq, 2000, 2004, and 2009. Co-MVP with Kobe. So you've.
How fitting.
Oh, Kobe.
So you have 3 more.
Was Kobe on the list?
Yeah, I already named him off.
Oh, I didn't hear
Kobe
him.
Had 4. He's got the most MVPs.
Iverson.
Yeah. Iverson is correct. 2001 and 2005. Now you have 2 older players. 1 guard and 1 forward.
Older is in the 90s, huh?
80s. 80s prime. Oh, wow.
Is it Thomas?
Yes, no. Sir. Yeah. 84 and 86. And this
and last one's a big man?
Big man,
yeah.
Known for his pick and roll moves.
Ka Malone.
Yes, sir. 89 to 93. Now, continuing with our multiple wins theme, for the 3-point contest, we have 6 guys who have won it more than once. Can you name them? 3-point contest.
I'll let Raj go first because I know a few of them.
How kind of
Kyle Korver?
No. I don't think he's ever won it. Or maybe he did once.
Horny. Jeff Hornacek.
Jeff Horny. That is correct. He's got 2.
I know one. Stoyakovich.
That is correct. the most recent, or not even the most recent, but a two-time winner, repeat in 02-03.
Craig Hodges.
Craig Hodges has the record with three first place finishes. He did a three-peat. My God. From 90 to 92.
Ray Allen.
Nope. Ooh. Oh, what about that? So confident. He's only won it once. Who's the best shit?
Dirk only won it once.
Yeah. Best shit talker in the game?
Like right now?
Like in history.
Oh, I was going to say Gary Payton, but that doesn't make any sense. Nah.
Best white guy shit talker in history.
White guy shit talker. It's not Jason Williams.
Nah. Oh my God, are you serious?
Brent Berry.
Good poll. No, man. Boston Celtics, hello? Are we serious?
I'm blanking right now.
Oh my God. Got a mullet. Drank beer all the time. Career.
Oh, Larry Bird. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Come on, man.
Didn't you say guard?
No.
No.
I thought you said guard. I was confused. Nah. I was like, he's a guard for the Celtics.
Nah, man. You made that up. Come on.
How many we got left?
Two more. Former Raptor.
Oh, Jason Capono.
Oh, yes, yeah, sir. Jason.
And then, let's see. This guy was known for being on the Cavs, early 90s point guard.
That's before my time.
Yeah. Josh, you should know this. White guy shooter.
Oh, Mark Price.
Yes, sir. And now the last one. Dunk contest. Multiple time winners. We've got five of them. Or six, sorry. Six of them. Please name them off.
Nate Robinson.
Unfortunately so. He is the leader with three in 06, 09, and 10.
Dwight Howard.
Did Dwight actually repeat? I don't think he did.
No?
No, he only got that 1 year with the Superman dunk.
Feels like he won multiple times.
It's because Nate actually won those other ones.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, those were awful.
Yeah, those are the worst that we've seen. In our time, at least.
He ruined the dunk contest.
Ugh. All right, who else you guys got?
Michael Jordan?
Of course, 87, 88.
Dominique.
That is right. 85 and 90.
Spud Webb.
Nope. One time deal.
No? Okay.
Let's see. You got a couple of repeats.
Anyone's recent?
Yeah. One was like 3 years ago.
Oh, Zach LaVine.
There you go. 15, 16.
Yeah.
You had another one who was a repeat just after Vince Carter.
Francis? No.
His major thing was also through the legs.
Oh.
Off the bounce.
Oh my God.
Is it Jay Rich?
Jay Rich,
yeah. Jason, yes, Richardson. Ugh. See, I also thought that Aaron Gordon still won that one that Zach LaVine stole from him, so that's why I got confused.
No, that was not a steal. He did. Okay, come on.
It was.
That was not a theft. Nate Robinson was a theft.
No, that Aaron Gordon dunk over the mascot was like maybe the best dunk ever.
Yeah, that was insane. I've always dreamed of, sounds so lame, of seeing a guy put it like under both of his legs. So seeing that was like, holy shit, as if it actually happened. Anyway, sorry, one last guy. Early to mid-90s. What else can I say about him? He was on the Heat. I think he made the through the legs a thing.
I was going to say Isaiah Rider, but no, that's not it.
No, it wasn't. No, Isaiah Rider was a through the legs guy, you're right. But yeah, no, this guy went off, went head-to-head with Isaiah Rider.
He played for the Heat.
Yeah.
It's not Eddie Jones, obviously. He was pretty athletic, but he never won the dunk contest.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get it. It's Harold Miner.
No, I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him to give you more hints.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, other than winning two slam dunk contests. That's all he's got, but good for him. And I believe that's it, unless anyone has any closing remarks. You want to?
Are we going to have a quick picks for
Right.
just our 3-point contest, dunk
Sure.
winner. I guess, and we'll do skills competition just real quick.
Yeah, okay. Who do you have for skills competition? You got Conley, Doncic, Fox, Jokic, Kuzma, Tatum, Vucevic, and Trae Young.
I got Fox.
I got
He's the
Mike
fastest
Conley.
in the competition.
Yeah, Fox is definitely the fastest. I'm going with Jokic, obviously. Why?
Homer.
I have no idea. Or no, I'm gonna go with Tatum. How about that?
Oh, come on, get out of here,
Just to piss
please.
people off. Jason Tatum. He's gonna be eliminated first, but I'm picking him. All right,
I'm gonna
he's
pick
not
Mike
going to get
Conley.
past the passing part of the
He won't
competition.
even get past the shooting part. He's gonna do like a spin move.
Who was the player that did like the passing competition? He threw all five balls and he missed them all, and like the last two he just threw at the stanchion.
Oh, I remember that.
Just to move on.
That was
Who
like two
was
years
that?
ago, right? It was
Yeah,
really
that was
recent.
hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. 3-point contest. We got Devin Booker, Seth Curry, Steph Curry, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Kemba Walker, and the old timer Dirk Nowitzki.
I got Joe Harris.
Ooh, I like that pick.
Yeah, that was my pick. That was a little dark horse there, but I'm gonna go with Damian Lillard.
Oh, nice. I'm going with Steph. You guys are crazy.
Yeah, you're going with the easy pick.
Yeah, fine. I'll go Seth. Fine.
Okay.
You know, they both had dads
I'm
in
gonna
it,
go with
but
Dell. I'm
oh.
taking Dell.
Yo, imagine if Dell came back for this. My God.
That'd be pretty cool.
Give him an extra minute just so he can run around, but that'd be sick.
Dirk too.
Yeah. Oh, Dirk needs at least an extra 30 seconds. It's not fair. Now we've got the slam dunk contest. Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, Hamidou Diallo, and John Collins. I'm going with Bridges on this one. Bridges is
Yeah, I was
nice.
gonna pick him too.
So athletic.
I'll go with Dennis Smith Jr.
Ooh. New York Knick. At least the Knicks have some representation this weekend. And for the All-Star game, obviously now it's split into two teams. It's always been split into two teams. That's a weird thing to say. But now they get to pick. So do you have Team Giannis or Team LeBron?
I don't want to say his name, so I'm going to say not Team Giannis.
I got team free agent.
Team Tamper? Team
Team Tamper.
Tamper.
There you go. That's better.
Team Tamper, man. I'm going with Giannis's team. Just because I like his smile.
Ah.
Yeah, you know. The whole time I was watching, I was like, man, this guy's just so happy. I want Giannis
Yeah,
to
he's
win.
got some great teeth. His teeth are
Yeah.
impressive.
Have you been watching his Instagram stories about like him just having like banging all day?
Yeah.
This guy's hilarious, man. No matter what, I just want Giannis to win because of that. I'm also picking him as my MVP. How about that?
Nah, Steph's gonna win the MVP.
Oh, you think Steph finally shoots well?
Yeah, like he's gonna go all out in his hometown.
Yeah, I could see that, but I'm going to go with Kevin Durant. He wants that MVP to go along with his big offseason contract.
Of spite, Kevin Durant guns after the MVP. That'd be amazing. All right, good call. I think that's it. I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Obviously, hit us up on Spotify. You can find us on Google Play, Stitcher, all the major podcast platforms. Hit us up on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And, you know, enjoy the All-Star break. And until next time, peace.
I've got one more proclamation,
Oh,
actually.
God. What is it?
Oh,
The Raptors are going to win the championship this year, and I'm out.
okay,
yeah, leave. Just leave. You have 1 week to reconsider your stance. So,
bye.
good thing we have a break here, get some mental help, and
It's all happening, baby.